Spring has sprung and you need to celebrate with a new MyPillow. With its patented interlocking fill, you can easily adjust your MyPillow to your individual needs. And now Mike's added brand new temperature regulating technology that keeps you more comfortable throughout the night. Plus, MyPillow 2.0 is 50% off with promo code REGULARJOE. There's never been a better time to get the MyPillow 2.0 than right now when it's 50% off. You can also get the extraordinary Giza Dream Sheets starting at just $29.99. Made from the world's best cotton from a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, the Giza Dream Sheets feature a sateen weave, giving them a luxurious finish. We own several sets, and they are fantastic. And you can get them for a limited time at an extremely low price with promo code REGULARJOE. Visit MyPillow.com/REGULARJOE to shop the best deals on MyPillow's complete line of products and get the lowest prices when you use promo code REGULARJOE. Well, hello there and welcome, Joe Gigante, your regular Joe with you here on this Tuesday. Just a reminder, coming up in just about an hour from now, we'll be talking with Mike Lindell, founder of MyPillow, about his work in election integrity, as well as some things going on here in our base of operations, the Badger State, the frozen tundra, the home of a football team. I just can never, they have a name? Anyway, so look, just a few moments ago, I played Donald Trump right before going into court. Yesterday, when he came out of court, after being smacked once again for speaking his mind, for exercising his First Amendment rights, which we all have, while gag orders can be utilized in certain cases, there's no question that this is, again, another attempt by the judge to interfere with the elections, to rob Donald Trump and subsequently all Americans, if he can get away with this, of your First Amendment right to free speech, giving him another $1,000 fine, telling him he doesn't want to put him in jail, but he might just have to, while also acknowledging he might be the next president of the United States. That probably hurt for him to admit the truth there. But Donald Trump, undeterred, and this is why I say we need fighters, people willing to fight and fight hard like Donald Trump does. Here is Donald Trump yesterday after that court hearing, after the fine, after the threat of being put in jail for speaking the truth.
I have to watch every word I tell you people. You ask me a question, a simple question, I'd like to give it, but I can't talk about it. Because this judge has given me a gag order and said you'll go to jail if you violate it. And frankly, you know what? Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day.
And I believe him fully. I think when Donald Trump says that, he means it. This is why people respect him. And when it comes to Donald Trump, for that matter, whoever his VP pick will be, we need someone that can match him toe-to-toe. If you want a summary of the kind of vice presidential candidate we need, Duke, the trainer of Apollo Creed in Rocky Balboa, through all the Rocky movies into the first Creed movie. Now, something I didn't know about the character's name. They always call him Duke. Do you know what his character's real name is? Tony Evers. That kind of took a little sheen off of that. I love the character. I'm like, really? But that's okay. He was portrayed by an actor named Tony Burton. And in one of the greatest of all the films, Rocky Balboa, after explaining to Rocky, who's going to get back in the ring in his 60s, that his arthritis has arthritis, he has calcium buildups on all of his joints, so all the normal training isn't going to work. So he says, here's how we're going to win. And figuratively speaking, this is how Donald Trump fights to win, and his vice president needs to fight to win also.
So what we'll be calling on is good old-fashioned blunt force trauma, horsepower, heavy-duty, cast-iron, pile-driving punches that will have to hurt so much they'll rattle his ancestors. Every time you hit him with a shot, it's got to feel like he tried kissing the express train. Yeah, let's start building some hurting bombs.
Now that's what I'm talking about. Now someone that's not doing that right now, certainly not doing it well, and I just want to point out that when Kristi Noem went wobbly the first time, which was on the transgender bill, and I called her out for that. I was taken to task. Oh, no, she's just going to do it. Hey, and again, I was willing to give her a second chance. But now I don't even understand what's behind this. Now, she went on the Sunday shows and made a fool of herself. I mean, let's just be clear here. And we've got the sound. She was on with Margaret Brennan, and Margaret Brennan buried her. I mean, that's the only way to put it. Cut 15 from yesterday's roster. Here's the first part of it.
Did you meet Kim Jong-un?
Well, you know, as soon as this was brought to my attention, I certainly made some changes and looked at this passage. And I've met with many, many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. As soon as it was brought to my attention, we went forward and have made some edits. So I'm glad that this book is being released in a couple of days and that those edits will be in place and that people will have the updated version.
So you did not meet with Kim Jong-un. That's what you're saying.
No, I've met with many, many world leaders. Many world leaders. I've traveled around the world. I think I've talked extensively in this book about my time serving in Congress, my time as governor, before governor, some of the travels that I've had. I'm not going to talk about my specific meetings with world leaders. I'm just not going to do that. This anecdote shouldn't have been in the book. And as soon as it was brought to my attention, I made sure that that was adjusted.
Okay, so what does it even mean? First, she doesn't answer the question. If she had any respect for her constituents and for the idea of being a conservative, she'd just own it. No, I never met with him. I shouldn't have said it. It was a mistake. It was dishonest. Whatever. I mean, at least answer. She doesn't answer it. But then she goes from bad to worse, though, because that's on with CBS's Margaret Brennan. And she wasn't done. She was all over the news yesterday. Then she went to Fox Business to talk to Kudlow. Now, there she tried to defend the dog thing. We'll come back to the dog thing. Honestly, I don't think the dog question is as big of a deal. It's just poor judgment. But lying about meeting a world leader and staring him down, that's a big deal. That's Joe Biden-esque kind of lying. Here she is with Jesse Waters. He tries to press her. I mean, he was softballing it. I like Jesse Waters, but he was not trying to get to the bottom of things. Cut 28.
So they're also attacking you. I guess you said you met Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet him?
I've been to the DMZ. I've been to North Korea. You know, people, I don't talk about my conversations with world leaders. And so when I looked at the book and I saw that excerpt, I decided to make the change to the content of the book, and that's been done.
So you didn't have a conversation with Kim when you were at the DMZ?
I don't have conversations about my conversations with world leaders.
That's complete BS. She put it in the book in the first place. She did the voice for the book on tape. So not only did she write it, not only did she ostensibly review it, she recorded her voice for the book. And she didn't remember that she didn't meet with him. And this whole, I don't talk about who I meet with, we're not talking about pillow talk, or are we? I mean, in the sense that this isn't, of course you talk about it. You're a politician. Any chance you can get out in front of people and tell them how awesome you are and how wonderful you are, that's what you do. And you've been doing it for years. So don't give us this BS. As a matter of fact, Margaret Brennan again, yesterday cut 16. She presses her. How did you confuse who you spoke with?
You talk about your time in the Armed Services Committee from 2013 to 2015. In that period of time, the leader of South Korea was a female president. I'm wondering, who is it that you confused Kim Jong-un with?
Well, I think you need to remember, Margaret, and everybody needs to remember, that I've worked on ag policy and federal policy for over 30 years. My time in serving and making policies in this country has been extensive and covered decades.
Right, but
so
you never went to North Korea.
I make no specifics in this book. I talk about the fact that, yes, I have. I've been there. So
you went to North Korea?
I went to the DMZ, and there are details. There are details in this book that talk about going to the DMZ and specifics that I'm willing to share. There's some specifics I'm not willing to share with you. I've traveled the world, and I've visited with world leaders, and some of that is referenced in the book, and this anecdote is something that, when it was brought to my attention, we made some changes, and when the book's released, we'll do all that we can to see that is reflected.
Brought to your you wrote the book! What do you mean it was brought to your attention? Well, I wrote that I met with Kim Jong-un, and then it was brought to my attention that I wrote it, and I didn't meet with him. Or maybe I did, but I'm just not going to tell. It's super secret, the conversation that we were having, that I put in the book, that I was bragging about in a book, that I was going to release just in time for the vice presidential pick so I could raise my stock a little, get people to pay attention. I mean, look, and she's done some pretty good things, some excellent things on COVID and some other pretty good things in her state. She went wobbly when it came to the question of transgendered agenda. That was a problem. But then she goes back and says, when she's pressed on it by Margaret Brennan, she goes, well, look, she said, how did you not catch these mistakes? And she doesn't really have an answer. And then she goes, but I met with a lot of world leaders, and I'll tell you about it. I mean, this is the problem. Now, I'm going to get to the phones here. But here's what I will never do. I'll never do this for Chris Noem. I'll never do this for anybody. I won't say something so dumb as what Eric Bolling presented yesterday on Newsmax. Again, I like Eric Bolling. He clearly likes Kristi Noem. He's trying to help her. But all he's doing is compromising his own integrity when he offered this olive branch.
And here's my question, the editor. Mm-hmm. The editor, was she possibly a plant, a liberal plant? Because I'm not sure either one of these stories, the dog story, the North Korea story, seems like the Kristi Noem I know.
No, the buck always stops with me.
The buck always stops with me. And you can tell the way she's answering. She's practically depressed because she knows she stepped in it. She stepped in it with Margaret Brennan. Then she tried to go out on Kudlow and all these others. And all she's doing is making it worse. Rip off the Band-Aid already. Admit that you screwed up by sharing the dog story. It was a miscalculation. And admit that you never met Kim Jong-un and that, you know, you were trying to fluff yourself up there, trying to peacock a bit, and you got caught. It'll be less damaging long-term than this continued insult to your constituents and conservative supporters, and to try to claim that this is just Republicans, conservatives, and the left trying to gang up on her because they just don't like her, which, again, is utter BS. She lied. She got caught lying. She won't admit it. All right, I want to get to the phones. 888-737-1737. Edward, hello. How are you on this Tuesday?
Great, Joe. Good morning. Say, I wanted to comment on Kristi Noem, and I just have to admit that she lost my support for VP a couple of years ago. You've mentioned it, but she totally whiffed on the transgender issue. And basically what she did, and I hope you had a caller yesterday defending her. I hope he's listening. She basically caved to corporations.
Right, exactly.
Because she was worried about not having tournaments and things like that in South Dakota, which is a concern, of course, but she didn't take the proper stance. So she lost me. I'm a very forgiving person. I'm not saying that, she signed some legislation afterwards that for the most part got things headed in the right direction. That's my first point. My second point is I want to do the RNC a service. At the national conventions, I have no doubt she'll speak there. I don't think she'll be VP, but she'll be a speaker.
Sure.
And there's intro music, and I've got three nominations for intro music. I'll even name the artist.
I can't wait to hear this one. Go ahead.
If I have time, it's up to you. I'll have a little commentary on one or two. But
why don't we do this, Edward? Edward, why don't we do this? Let's hit the break now. That way we have a little more time. You can give me your songs and your additional comment on the other side of the break. If we do that now, we'll have a little more time. That way we can get it all in.
Beautiful.
All right, you hang on the line. We'll be right back. You've piqued my curiosity. I have a couple song ideas too. I want to see if they match up with your suggestions for Kristi Noem's play on music. I mean, she's giving them a lot to work with. We'll hear what Edward has to say right after the break.
The Regular Joe Radio Show.